Well, the UN has said the scale of Pakistan's floods is worse than the 2004 Asian tsunami and the Haiti earthquake. Here's more.
The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, says the number of people suffering from the massive floods in Pakistan could exceed the combined total in three recent mega disasters: the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami, the 2005 Kashmir earthquake, and the 2010 Haiti earthquake. The OCHA also says nearly 14 million people have been affected by the massive floods. Around 5 million people were affected in the tsunami, and some 6 million people in the Kashmir and Haiti earthquakes. The United Nations has estimated that Pakistan's floods have left 1,600 people dead. These people are the members of a family who lost their loved ones in the floods. Roshana Bibi says she fainted as she saw her son and sister-in-law get swept away by the waves. This man found his son's body after 3 days.
On the third day, the water level was lower, and I, along with other villagers, were searching for my son and nephew. I was 1 or 1.5 kilometers away, standing in the flood water, when a villager told me to come closer. It looks like there's a human foot. When I went closer, I saw my son's foot. I recognized my son by his foot.
The flood-stricken people are angry with Pakistani officials over their handling of the situation.
Just look at our condition. Our president visits foreign countries while we drown here in the water. The government is doing nothing. We have no drinking water, nothing to eat, nothing. We're sitting in the rain, we have no tents, we are not getting anything from anywhere.
The floods are the deadliest to hit Pakistan in more than 8 decades. Weather forecasts say more rains are ahead, in which case the situation may worsen.
Well, Russia has declared a state of emergency in the southern city of Oziorsk. The city is home to a major nuclear reprocessing plant. This is raging wildfires and the resulting toxic smog have turned into a major crisis for Russia.
Well, still, media claim Russian officials are concealing the true dimensions of the disaster.
Firefighters are working round the clock to contain the wildfires that have been raging on for days. Other countries have pitched in. France, Italy and Poland are sending planes, vehicles and rescue teams to help Russia fight the blazes.
As of 9 a.m., the Italian teams will work together with the emergency ministry forces to extinguish wildfires in the national parks of Samara.
Authorities are reporting progress. The number of fires put out during the day exceeds the number of new fires. Still, there are 550 blazes raging on over an area of 200,000 hectares. They send nearly 1 million tons of carbon monoxide in the air above the European part of Russia every day, according to data from a NASA satellite. Millions of Moscovites are wearing medical masks or just clutching wet rags to their faces. Experts say the concentration of invisible particles from fires is several times higher than the acceptable level, and they are dangerous for health. The level of carbon monoxide in Moscow's air is 3 times higher than the norm. Some doctors say inhaling the polluted air is as dangerous as smoking several packets of cigarettes a day. You can't escape it even in the metro network. Dozens of flights have been delayed or cancelled at Moscow airports. 2,000 passengers are stranded at the Domodedovo airport south of the capital, where the conditions are the worst.
The situation is difficult. The priority now is to guarantee flight safety. All aircraft crews have been reminded to strictly follow safety rules and not land in conditions of poor visibility.
Passenger navigation on the Moscow River has been suspended due to low visibility. Residents rush to escape from the capital. Tour agents report package tours to summer destinations are completely sold out. Austria, Poland and Canada evacuated some embassy employees, while NASA prohibited its specialists to visit Moscow until the weather improves.
The heavy smog that has paralyzed the Russian capital shows no sign of relenting. Still, locals are hoping the smoke may clear somewhat by Tuesday, when wind directions may change. Svetlana Tikhomirova, Press TV, Moscow.
Officials in the U.S. state of Texas have sued BP over excess air pollution at its Texas City refinery. The Texas Attorney General says the BP unit allowed the release of about 500,000 pounds of air pollutants in April and May. The lawsuit contends that BP was motivated by profits. It happened during a 40-day malfunction at its Texas City refinery. The lawsuit could lead to the British oil giant being fined millions of dollars. BP already faces federal criminal investigations into the April 20th explosion on one of its rigs. The blast left 11 workers dead and led to the leaking of nearly 5 million barrels of crude into the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, you're watching the news here on Press TV. A quick check of the headlines this hour. Hezbollah unveils evidence linking Israel to the assassination of Lebanon's former prime minister in 2005. The United Nations compares the deadly floods in Pakistan to the 2004 tsunami in Asia. And Russia declares a state of emergency as wildfires near a nuclear plant.
Also to come in the next half of the bulletin right here on Press TV, the aged in Japan. Stay tuned for the details and a lot more. The security situation is worsening across Afghanistan as the U.S. and foreign forces are losing ground to the Taliban militants in different parts of the country. Press TV's taking a closer look.
More and more Taliban attacks on U.S.-led foreign forces across Afghanistan. Militancy is now rife in most parts of the war-torn nation, with attacks not only in the regions that are known as Taliban strongholds, but right across the country.
The momentum has been with the Taliban. Now the surge of military forces has naturally led to increased conflict in the south and therefore more casualties.
The surge in successful attacks is giving rise to serious concerns that the 150,000-strong U.S.-led contingent may be losing control of the situation. Over 400 foreign troops have been killed in Taliban attacks so far in 2010, a grim reminder of the actual status quo on the ground. The situation is far from ideal for the Afghan population itself.
The fact that the perception is that it's not succeeding, and therefore people are making calculated judgments about what the future looks like. It's not been the success of the Taliban so much as it's been the failure of the international forces and the Kabul government to win the confidence of the people.
The country's independent Human Rights Commission says that the U.S.-led war has claimed the lives of more than 1,300 civilians so far this year. It says the figure shows a 5% increase compared to the same period last year. The rights group blames the U.S.-led foreign troops for nearly 400 civilian deaths in this year alone. Winning the war is no longer even mentioned by the U.S. and its allies, as the conflict looks, for all intents and purposes, to be spiraling out of control. Many observers have arrived at the conclusion that the Afghan war is already lost.
So the time now is Afghanistan is in a very crucial juncture, either to win this war or to prepare for a collapse of the Afghan state or the expansion of tourism to the neighboring countries and maybe further to other Central Asian and maybe to European countries.
Well, people have gathered in the front of the American Embassy in Tokyo to protest against the nuclear bombings of Japan in 1945.
Well, the demonstration follows memorial ceremonies in Hiroshima and Nagasaki on the 65th anniversary of the atomic attacks on the cities. The demonstrators handed a letter to the U.S. Embassy demanding an apology for the bloodshed. They say Japan would never forget the United States' genocidal acts towards their nation. They call the bombings inhumane and a blatant breach of international law. The U.S. has refused to apologize for its nuclear attacks on Japan up until this day. The atomic strikes, which were carried out around a month before the end of World War II, left thousands of innocent civilians dead.
Many societies around the world are seeing people become older as economic development progresses. Now, the trend is particularly noticeable in Japan, but a recent scandal has led to the disappearance of some of the country's oldest citizens. Press TV's Michael Penn explains.
The young. It is said that the young bear the burden of the future. In Japan, it is no less true than for other countries. At present, however, Japan is much more focused on the problems of the old. Already one of the grayest nations on earth, it has a respect for the age day that demonstrates the traditional view. It's this background that has made a recent story all the more shocking. Both Tokyo's oldest man and Tokyo's oldest woman were recently discovered to have actually been dead for several decades, while their children either lied about their true condition or else had lost all contact with them.
This was really the first time I had heard of such a thing. I don't know how common it is, but I was certainly surprised.
The authorities were also quite surprised to discover that not only these two, but dozens of other centenarians, people over the age of 100, are also missing and are probably long dead. There are over 40,000 centenarians in Japan, and now there is concern about where their pension payments are actually going.
I'm really worried about the communication and the social ties between family members these days.
The Japanese Prime Minister has expressed a similar view. The questions raised are more than just social ones. They also involve public policy. And so we went to talk with Yukiko Miyake, a ruling party lawmaker who sits on the House of Representatives Committee on Health, Welfare, and Labor. She advocates a policy that she calls sympathetic politics.
The Democratic Party of Japan cited welfare policy as being one of its priorities in last year's manifesto. Although we are facing serious budget constraints at the current juncture, I am one who believes that we should not cut resources for senior welfare.
The concerns created by the recent centenarian scandal are likely to cause many other Japanese to agree with her. For an aging society like Japan, the quality of life for senior citizens is not a peripheral concern. Rather, it is a central concern. Michael Penn, Press TV, Tokyo.